Today's daf is daf hey. So we got the last two lines of Dalet and Beis. We're talking about when a person divides up an estate, and the gedim tiyashim connect gedim. And we had said that once you divide the property, so then it's considered in the hands of the Yorshin as a transaction, and it would be putter in Maisa Behema, but Chayv and Kalbon, because it's no longer viewed as the father's estate, but once they divide it, it's viewed as the children's individual estates, and then they have to pay a Kalbon when they pay each individual shekel. So the Gemara now says, Rabbi Chiya Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Boy V'lama Les Nan Amrinan, why didn't we also pose the other two scenarios, because the Gemara had taught us two different scenarios. When you're chayv and kalbon, pater and ma'aseh behemah, and when you're pater and kalbon, and chayv ma'aseh behemah. But there are two other cases which the Gemara didn't address, which are as follows. Pamim, there's sometimes, shein chayavim bezeh bezeh. Sometimes you're chayv both in the kalbon and in ma'aseh behemah. This inverse relationship isn't so true and accurate. And Pamim says the Gemara in Daf Hey now, shame p'turin mizeh u'mizeh. And there's instances where you're p'ter from both the Maisa Behema and from Kalbun. So what are the cases? So the Gemara says, the Heich Avdi, so we're going to skip the parentheses. So the Gemara then says, Chalku hanichasim velo chalku behema, if they divide the money, but they don't divide the behemas. So now the money is viewed as the owners, the coins are viewed as the brother, the sons, and the animals are still viewed as the father's estate. So in this case, you're chayavim bezeh bezeh. You're chayv in the mais behema because it was never divided. It's still your father's. But you're chayv also in the shkalim because since the money was divided and the chasim were divided, it's viewed as the children's property now. And if it's a flip case, if chalku behema, if they divide the property of the animals, rather. They divided the animals, so now the animals are considered a new transaction in the possession of the children. For the chalku is a nechasim, but the money was not divided. The money is considered still in the hands of the father's estate, then p'turin mizeh u'mizeh. So these are really the four different permutations of the kalbon and ma'isa behema relationship. So Gemara then says further now, we are Amar Rabbi Mana, hada dat Amar, that which you said when you divided the property, but you did not divide the behema, so you're chai both in the kalbon and ma'isa behema, it's only true. Rabbi Mana qualifies b'shelo ha'isa hai behema rov, when the animals were not most of the property. About im hayisa behema rov, if most of the estate was made up of animals, hein ikin nechasim, they become the primary, and whatever the status the behema has, that's the status of the nechasim. So if you divide the behemas, so we view it as even the nechasim being divided. If you do not divide the behemas, then we view it as if the nechasim were also not divided. So the Gemara then says, Rabbi Abin Amar Rabbi Shammai, ba'i mipnei shasisan ka'odam echad eitzel ma'isa behema at potu mina kalbon, just because it's viewed as still the father's estate, as if it's one person, although we all know that eventually they're going to divide the property, that's a reason to exempt them from a kalbon, just because right now they haven't yet divided the estate. So Amrlei, lo shahi, what's the difference? Why are you bothered by this? It should be no different. Shuno sein sela acha shleima. If a person gives one sela, before the state's been not yet been divided, so the din would be it's considered part of the estate. You wouldn't pay a kalbon. So it should be no different than this case where they haven't yet divided the estate. Just to explain, the article here says, the estate was never divided. It retained its independent identity as a single property under the ownership of the father. That's it, as if the father himself pays a sela on behalf of his sons. So too, if a person pays on behalf of himself and other people, the din is he's pater from a kalbon. Here as well, if the estate hasn't divided, it shouldn't be any different, and we shouldn't be bothered by this. So the Gemara says, Miata, that's the case now. Then would you say, take the next step further? Afilu chalku v'chazuv nishtatu. Would you say the same thing, that they divide the property, and then they repartner with each other, put everything back together? Would you say that they're going to be pater from kabon in this case? But v'tanina, we said in the Mishnah, if that happens, if they chalku v'chazuv nishtatu, chayavim b'kalbon, hupturim imayser peimos. How come in one case, you said when the estate is whole, you're pater from a kalbon, but here, even though they divide it, they brought it back together, you're chayavim a kalbon? So the question doesn't seem very strong. Now, it's not a very strong question. So this next line of the Gemara, some say is a response to this question. It's unclear how the response is. We're going to take the approach, but most Mefarshim say that we just kind of ended that question. We ignored it. And this next statement is just an independent statement now, not trying to answer it. Now, this is very typical for the Yishalmi, where the Yishalmi just raises a question and just walks away and moves on. It's kind of like the Biden's interviews, just like ask a question and he ignores you. So we're going to do the same thing. We're going to ignore that question and move weiter with the next Gemara. So the Gemara then says, Rabbi Ba, b'shem Abba bar Rav Huna, hi shnei achim sheyarshu es avim. So he says, let's say you have two brothers who divide the property. So the Gemara extends is not only true of brothers who divide the property, but the same halacha is true as well, Hushne Gisim. A Gisim is a brother-in-law. If two brother-in-laws are the sons-in-law of the father-in-law passes away, and the sons-in-law become the Yorshin, Shiyarshot Chamem, they have the same exact din as if two sons were to divide the property. So if it was, you know, divided, Behemas versus Nechasim, all of that we said, the Gemara just extends the same halachas to the din of Shne Gisim. The Gemara now says, in finishing off the first parak, Le'echan hayu ha-kabonos noflim. Where do these kabonos fall? In other words, what are the kabonos used for? What do they do with all the kabonos? So there's a machlokas in the Gemara, a few different opinions. Rabbi Meir Omer, it says l'shkalim, it goes towards the shkalim fund. They add it to the shkalim, just like this machzeh shekel. They add more kabonos to fund all the kabonos musaf, the carbon tumber, the carbon, whatever kabonos tzibur. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Linadava, goes to the Nadava. The Nadava is that there is what's called Keitzel Mizbeach. Keitzel Mizbeach is if there was ever a time where the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach was very, it was inactive. It was just a quiet time. People were busy. People were, I don't know, traveling. They were doing the opposite of what they should be doing. Instead of going to Yerushalayim for a regular, they go out elsewhere for a regular. So no one goes to the regular. It's a very quiet time. Yerushalayim is very quiet. So they take from the Nadava, they take from the fund and just buy karbanos to just keep the Mizbeach active. That's called Linadava. That's called Keitzel Mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer, Rikua Zahava, they'd use it to buy some flat pieces of gold with Sipur, the base of Kodesh Kodashim, and line the inside of the Kodesh Kodashim. And Ben Azi Omer, they'd use the Kabonas Shulchanim Hayunolinosan Bisharm, and actually use it to pay the money changers. They were also a job, they had to exchange money. So who's paying them for the service of, you know, exchanging for the Machzeh Shekel? The Kabonas were used as a fee to pay the Shulchanim. And Yeshamim, there are those who say, Lotas Drachim, to fix the, rather to pay for all the expenses of traveling back and forth. So that's how the Gemara ends. The Perek ends, Hadjinalach. Perek be'echad ba'adar. So let's begin now the second perek of shkalim. So the Mishnah says, mitzarfin shkalim darkonos mipnei masoi derech. So you imagine sometimes if the whole city didn't go to Shalim to pay the shkalim. They'd collect it and give it to an agent, the shliach, to go ahead and bring it to the base of Mikdash. So now that's a lot, a big pouch of shkalim of the whole city is a lot. So you're able to actually combine the shkalim to larger coins which are going to lighten the load. So instead of bringing, you know, 50 pennies, you could bring 2 quarters and be much lighter than carrying 50 pennies, if you will. So the Gemara says, mitzarfin shkalim, you could combine the shkalim, the darkonos, to bigger coin, mipnei masoi haderech, more valuable coins, I should say. So the Mishnah says further, kashem shayu shofros b'mikdash, just like there are these shofros, these different stucco boxes in the different, in the base of Mikdash, so too kachayu shofros b'medina, they also had in the different communities that had stucco box, and when they were full or the time came, they took the stucco box and brought it eventually to the base of Mikdash. So Bnei Ha'ir, Sheshalcha Sheklem, which I assume was often, were common, that when the people of the city would send an agent, their shkalim, with the agent to bring it over to the base of Mikdash to collect all the shkalim, v'nignevu o she'avdu. Let's say the money was lost along the way or was stolen from them. So the din is, according to the Mishnah right now, we'll see in the Gemara is going to be a distinction, but right now we view the shliach as a shomer chinam. A shomer chinam is only chayv if he's poshev, if he's negligent. But if it's ganav, nignav, or nevad, the shomer chinam is pater. So in this case, if the shliach loses, he loses or it gets stolen from him, the din is as follows. Im nitshuma hatshuma, if they already started taking from the money from the truma that was collected from the earlier series that sent the shkalim beforehand. And this one city was a little bit delayed. So if they started collecting from the truma, the din is nishbaina la gizbarim. The shliach has to take a shvuah that they weren't negligent, but they're taking a shvuah to the gizbar, to the base of Mikdash. Why? Because once they started the process of taking the shkalim out to provide to fund the base of the karbanos, and then it was lost and stolen after that fact, we view it, that we're going to see in the din in a second, there's a din, that when they start taking the shkalim, who has a chaylikin? Let's say my shekel didn't yet get to the base of Mikdash. The din is that we view all those future shkalim that are going to make its way eventually, the shkalim actually works for those who plan to send it in the future. So if we already sent it, and they started taking the chuma, it was ki'ilu, our shkalim made it to the base of Mikdash, and therefore the shliach has an obligation to take a shvuah to the base of Mikdash, not towards the Bnei Ha'ir. We've already fulfilled the obligation, it's ke'ilu is already collected. So again, if nignivu o she'avdu, the din is im nitshimu chum, if they start collecting from the shkalim from Alf Nisan already, nishbar and the gizbar, they need to make a shvuah to the gizbar that they were not poshay and the pater. Vim lav, if however they realize it was stolen or lost, prior to taking the truma, they haven't yet taken from the new funds yet, the din is it's still considered the possession of the Bnei Ha'ir and the Shban of Bnei Ha'ir. They have to now swear to the Bnei Ha'ir that they were not poshea and it was stolen or is lost. And as a result of that, since the Shkalim weren't yet taken, now Bnei Ha'ir Shokim Tachatem, the Bnei Ha'ir have to now send new Machzeh Shekel to participate in the Shkalim, the new funds of the year. So let's say after they lost it, after it was stolen, Nimsu, they found the money. They sent two sets of Shkalim. After sending a second set of Shkalim, someone found the lost Shkalim, Oshech Zirum HaGanavim, or the robbers perhaps return the Shkalim. So now you have two sets of Shkalim. So the din is Elu ve'Elu Shkalim. Both of them have the din of Shkalim. You can't take back the extra Machzeh Shekel. The Ein Olin Lehen L'Shana Haba, and you have to put it towards the upcoming year. You can't pay up front for the following year, and all for only that current year. You've paid double for the current year, and it's going to be a surplus that the base Mikdash will have towards Machzeh Shekel, but you can't use that fund to pay for the upcoming year. So the Gemara now says, V'yasu osan margalios. So when the Mishnah said, you have a lot of shkalim, you're allowed to combine them on larger coins, larger bills, so why doesn't the Gemara say it'll be much easier to put it on the pearl or diamond? One diamond could be thousands of shkalim. It's much easier to carry one diamond up than many darkonos, so why not invest in a pearl or a diamond and to bring the diamond up to represent the entire city and all the shkalim? So Gemara makes a very important point, a good suggestion about investing in different investments. The concern here is Shema Tazil Hamargalios Venimsa Hekdesh Mafsid. Now that which is valuable, it's very volatile. So although it could be very valuable, it could also lose value. And therefore they didn't want to play any games and risk anything with the money of Hekdesh. So therefore they said don't invest in pearls, because then it's a possibility Nimsa Hekdesh Mafsid. Kahida Tanin and Taman, we have a Mishnah that says the Kula Niftin Bekesev Uvishava Kesev. With respect to various types of pidyonim, like pidyon haben, for example, you could do a pidyon with kesef, or even shava kesef, which means anything with value. It could be a table, it could be a book, it could be anything. Chutz mishkalim, with the exception of shkalim, you cannot use shava kesef. You can't use anything with value. Rather, you must use coins only for shkalim. Vein podim bekalim, and you're not allowed to use kalim. Why not? So Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Shema Yazila Kalim Venimsu Hakdesh Mafsid. Because if you use Kalim to do a pidyon, you might that kli might lose value, might depreciate, and you're going to cause a loss to the base of Mikdash. So just like we said that din by using Shava Kesef and Kalim by Shkalim, here as well Af Hachanami Shema Tazil Margolios Venimsu Hakdesh Mafsid. Just like you can't use a kli to redeem Shkalim, so too you can't use Margolios because of the Chashash, it might lose, it might depreciate in value. So Gemara then says further, Brisa comments, or really the Mishnah says, Masnisa b'tiklin chadasim. The din was that the Mishnah is talking about tiklin is shekel, the tough switch with the shin, that's a shiklin is a shekel, chadasim, the tough switch with the shin, that's chadashim. So tiklin chadasim means shkalim, the new shkalim it's referring to. About b'tiklin atikin, the old shkalim, lo bada, that was not part of the Mishnah. The Tani Kain, that's what Mishnah says as well. Atikin b'mikdash, vein atikin b'medino. So what the Mishnah said, just like in the base of Mikdash, there were these different the different boxes to collect. We called in the Mishnah the shofros. They had shofros in the Mikdash. They also had shofros in the Medina. Only shofros of the Taklin Chadasin, of the upcoming year, the new year's Shkalim, that they have those shofros in the Medina. But with respect to a person, let's say, didn't pay his last year's Shkalim, he needs to pay what he missed, he has outstanding debt, that's called Atikin, that's called Shkalim Atikin. Those boxes only had in the base of Mikdash, but they did not have these Tiklin Atikin in the Medina of last year's funds. You have to go all the way to the base of Mikdash to pay your outstanding dues. So then the Gemara says further, we said in the Mishnah that the Gizbar, rather if the Shliach loses the Shkalim, he's considered Shomer Chinam, and he's Pater, because the Shomer Chinam is Pater for Gneva Vaveda. So the Mishnah point, the Gemara points out, Masnis, our Mishnah is B'Shomer Chinam. Aval B'Shomer Sachar, where he's being hired, he's being paid, he is Chayiv in Gneva and Aveda. Lobada, the Mishnah was not referring to that din. In fact, in that case, the Shliach would actually have to pay for all the lost or stolen Shkalim. So Amar Rabbi Abba argues and says, no, V'afil tamer b'shomer sachar, even our Mishnah could be consistent. It could even be, if the Shliach was a Shomer Sachar, he could still be exempt. How could he be exempt? Isn't he Chayiv and Gneva v'aveda? So if you're familiar with the Gemara's in Bamatziah, the Gemara says, no, Nignevu b'listim muzionim. If the robbers were not just regular robbers, but they were armed robbers are considered ones, that is Shomer Sachar is actually Pater. Shomer Sachar is only Chayiv if it was stolen from Stam Ganavim. But if they're listed Muzionim, professional armed robbers, that is Shomer Sachar would actually be Pater from. Or when it comes to the case of Aveda, Avdu B'misha Tava Svinasa Bayam. It wasn't just Stam that he lost it, rather it was lost because the boat sank. That's a more than just a aveda. That's called ones. The shomer sacher is pater ones. So these are two types of cases of gneva aveda that they're not really considered gneva aveda. They're really considered ones. And the shliach who would be a shomer sacher would be pater in this case as well. Gemara says further now. Amar Rabbi Yusti bar Rabbi Simon. Asya command damar tormin al hagavoy val asir lagavo. So I already referred to in the Mishnah that when the chuma was taken, it actually does include all the people who are sending the shkam who hadn't yet made it over there, because there's an opinion that the chuma of the shkam works for the gavoy, that which is collected but has not yet made its way to the base of Mikdash, or that which will in the future to be collected. It's included everybody, even the future ones. However, Biram, in contrast to man damar ein tormin lo al hagavoy val asir lagavos lo boda. This would not be the case if you hold that the chuma does not work for the future collections. It only works for that which is in the base mikdash. But that which is coming is not included, which means that even if the chuma was taken yet, if the money did not make its way over to the base mikdash, the shliach would have to take a shvua to the bnei ha'ir in both cases to swear that he was not negligent. Once a chuma is taken, right, it's considered as if the money was already collected and they're exempt from having to pay anywhere.
Meaning they used to come and put the money in the shofar, right? Every shliach.
Yeah, and they take the money out and they buy a carbon with it. That's so the chuma.
That happens throughout the year.
The first time, took out the chuma the first time, that means they're using the new shkam for the year. So that's what it's referring to. Right, so then the Gemara says, "Bnei Ha'ir sheshalchu ha'shiklem." So the Bnei Ha'ir, if they sent their shkalim, so the din would be. So Amar Rebbe Lazar, this is Rabbi Shimon. So this is referring to the din that the shliach has to had to make a shvua to the gizbar. So in a case where the gizbar already took the new shkalim of the year, so then the din was. So now it's considered as if the Bnei Ha'ir shkalim made it over, even though it didn't, but it's ki'ilu made it its way over. And when they took the shkalim, it was as if they included even the Bnei Ha'ir. And then they found out the shliach lost money or was stolen. The shliach has to take a shvua to the gizbar. That's the case of the Mishnah. Now the problem is, there's a klal. The Mishnah tells the Masech of Shavuos that you don't make a shvua when it comes to any halachas of the hekdesh property. You don't make shvua ein nishban al hekdeshos. So if ein nishban al hekdeshos, how here can we say that the shliach will make a shvua to hekdesh? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, the Rabbi Shimon. This is the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kodshim Shuchai Bachariyosan, Kinechas of Hain. When it comes to certain karbanos, whereby the owner is responsible, that if it gets lost, he has to pay back anyways, it's viewed as if it's still the owner's, because he has the responsibility, he has the acharios for it, even though it's kachim, even though it's hektish, but since, again, there's a responsibility that's on the owner, it's kilo, it's the owner, and that's where they're taking a shvu. That's the understanding of Belazar. There's a certain acharios that's here, and it's considered the bailus of the owner still. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Divri Akolhi, this is not only according to Rabbi Shimon, not only Rabbi Shimon, even though in general, Ein Nishban al Karkos, al Hekdeshus rather, in this case you would take a Shavua because of the Achrayos, there's another reason, another instance where you could take a Shavua on even that which is Hekdesh, which is Mishum Shavuas Takana. Really, Mikra Adin, you don't have to take a Shavua here. But Chachamim instituted a din, a special din in this case, that a din derban, you must take a Shavua in this instance, so that's why it's an exception. Chachamim have their right to override Dine Deraisa. So Gemara now explains, Al date de Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan Nicha, this makes sense. Why Nishban le Gizbarim? Why they could take a Shavua to the Gizbar? Because it's still considered the Achrayos of the people. Vim Lav, and if the Chuma was not yet taken, Nishban le Vnei'ir, they make a Shavua towards Vnei'ir. Uvnei'ir, Shokun Acharim, and then the Vnei'ir have to send replacement Shkam. So this all makes sense, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why they either take a Shavua to the Gizbar, or they take a Shavua to the Vnei'ir. Problem is, because all it's a Shavuos Takana, so all this, you don't have to raise any questions because it's a Din D'Rabbanan. El Rabbi Lazar, who says, Nishban L'Vnei Ha'ir, Hadehi D'Rabbi Shimon. When they take a Shavuot to Bnei Ha'ir, because now the Bnei Ha'ir have to send replacements, it's a Achraos that they have, their responsibility, we understand why the Shliach makes a Shavuot to Bnei Ha'ir. It's not yet Hekdesh right now. They're just swearing that we are not negligent, and you have to send more Shkalim. But Nishban the Gizbarim, but why are they making a Shavua to the Gizbar? Gizbar my Avidasai. What did the Gizbar do? The Gizbar did nothing. You're taking a Shavua to the Gizbar that we were negligent. They don't care, the Gizbar. It's not their money. It's not their scum. What involved in involvement does the Gizbar have to do here? So the Gemara says, Nishban the Bnei Ha'ir b'maimud Gizbarim. What's going on here is they take a Shavua to the Bnei Ha'ir regardless of whether the Chuma was taken or not taken. But they take it to the Bnei Ha'ir in the presence of the Gizbarim, Why? So they should not be choshed the shliach of taking the money. Alternatively, so the gizbar should not say that the messenger was negligent. They want the gizbar to realize that, wait a second, how come Woodmere didn't say they're sending the shkalim over? So they take a shvuah to the bnei ir. Listen, we did our part, we were negligent, but they want the gizbarim to be present, so gizbarim should not suspect either the people of the city or suspect the shliach of doing anything that was wrong. But it's not a shvuah to the gizbarim. You don't have to take a shvuah ever towards Hekdesh, about Hekdesh, it's a shvuah to the bnei ir, and that's how we reconcile this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. So then the Gemara says, we said in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yochanan held that they take a shvuah to the bnei ir. So the Gemara says, let's say the apapisha kiblu bnei ir l'shalim. Let's say the shliach says, "I'm sorry, guys, we lost your coins." So Rabbi Yochanan says, you have to take a shvuah to bnei ir that you lost it, you weren't negligent, and bnei ir have to pay replacements. But let's say the bnei ir say, "We trust Reuven. Reuven was a real neman. He was a shliach neman. We're not going to make him take a shvuah. Forgo the shvuah. We'll pay the shkalim. We trust you. We know you didn't do anything wrong. We don't need any shvuahs here." So would that be the case? Even though they accepted to pay the money without the shvuah, would the shliach in that case still have to take a shvuah? So Gemara says, yes, ein hektish yotze below shvuah. There's a din that your hektish cannot leave his property without there being a shvuah. In other words, that we don't want people to think that hektish is not a big deal. They say, oh, don't take a shvuah. The point of the shvuah here is to give a certain level of fear, a certain significance, a certain concern. We're dealing with hektish. It's not a stam a thing here. So therefore, even in an instance where the bnei ir said, we don't want the Reuven to take a shvuah, the halacha is you take a shvuah nonetheless, so people realize the seriousness of hektish. So then the Gemara says further, let's say Hifrish Shiklov Avil. Let's say Reuven from the city, or he's another name, Shimon. Shimon set aside a machzor shekel to send to the base of Mikdash. And before making its way over, he loses it. Doesn't get to the Chuma yet. Doesn't get to the Lishcha yet. It gets stolen or lost. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Chai Bach Riuso Ad Shim Sered Al Gizbar. He has a responsibility to replace it until it gets to the hands of the Gizbar. Reish Lakish Amar, Hektish Birshus Hagavoa. When I say that this money is shekel, it's considered in the hands of the hektish, and even though it gets lost, and even though it doesn't physically get into the hands of the gizbar, it's figuratively considered in the hands of the gizbar, and therefore he's potter for any responsibility. I'm saying this coin is hektish, and that's it. That's it. So the Gemara says, Masnisa pligal Reish Lakish. Our Mishnah clearly goes against, is a challenge to Reish Lakish Shita. How can Reish Lakish say that the moment you say that this coin is machzor shekel, even though you haven't sent it to the gizbar yet, you're exempt from your responsibility? Our Mishnah says, Nishbon levne'ir, uvne'ir shoklin tachdem. If you sent in the hands of the bnei the shliach, and the shliach loses it, so the shliach sends makes a shvuah to bnei'ir, and the bnei'ir have to make a replacement. Now, according to Reish Lakish, the moment you say this machzor shekel, you're exempt. So why would you have to pay ever a replacement shekel in this case, according to Reish Lakish? So Gemara says, "Lo odi mishum shvuas takana." Did we not already establish that the whole point of the shvuah was simply a takana? It was really just a din dirabanan. So therefore, since the whole thing is a din dirabanan, so to the paying of the shekel also is considered a din dirabanan. Midderaisa, your potter. Midderaisa, I say that this coin's machzor shekel, I fulfill my obligation. But since it's a din dirabanan, they said nonetheless you have to pay a replacement shekel. That's how Reish Lakish understands it. But then the Gemara says, Tani, the Braisa teaches us that Harishonim, so we send the Mishnah, that they were the first set of shkalim that were sent, they were lost. They sent a second set of shkalim, and then they found the original shkalim. So now you have two sets of shkalim. So what do you do with two types of shkalim? So the Braisa comments, Tani, Harishonim Noflim Litiklin Chadasin, the first set of coins go towards the New Year's Tiklin Chadasin, which are the new coins for this coming year. And Shneim, the second set of coins, were falling Latiklin Atikin, were going to the old Shkalm, part of the surplus of last year. So the Gemara says, which is considered the first one, which is considered the second Shkalm? So the Gemara says, Eluhein Rishonim, Eluhein Rishonim, which is considered the first, which are considered the second? Rebbe Pinchas, Rebbe Chia, Rebbe Abba Mari, Chadamar, one holds, Elu, Sheshalchu Bnei Ir Tchila, the first ones that were sent, that were ultimately lost, but then found, those are the first ones. So those Rishonim that are falling to the Tiklin Chadasin. But according to the other opinion, Charana Amar, the other one says, Elu Shigili de Gizbarn Tchil, the ones that make its way over first to the base of Mikdash, which are really the second set of Shkalm, the replacement ones made it first to the base of Mikdash, those are the ones considered first. So is it the ones that they sent first, or is it the ones that were received first? That's the Machlokas. But either way, one of them goes towards the new funds, and one goes towards the old funds. Okay, new Mishnah. Mishnah tells us that Hanosin Shiklo Chavero, Lishkal Al Yado, Ushkalo ayude atzma, a person, Reuven, sends his machzor shekel to Shimon. That Shimon should be the agent and pay for Reuven. So Shimon brings a shekel, but when he makes his way over the gizbar, he tells him that this is for me, for Shimon. He doesn't give for Reuven, he gives it for himself to check off his name from the list. The din is, im nishma hachuma, if they ready now, once they took the money of the shkalim to start buying the first carbon tzibur, mal, Shimon has violated me'ila because he used Reuven's coin to exempt his own obligation, machzor shekel. That's called me'ila, that's called benefiting from hekdesh. Hashoka shiklo min a hekdesh, if a guy uses actual hekdesh money to pay his obligation of machzor shekel, that too, if nishma hachuma vikarva behemah, the Gemara is going to address each step here. If so, he sent a hekdesh to the Beis Hamikdash to exempt his obligation of shekel. So the moment they took the chuma and they brought a karban, in that case, he's mal as well because he used hekdesh to exempt his obligation. And third case in the mission is mimay shesheni midbei shvius. If a guy takes money of mai shesheni or takes money of shvius and he uses it to fulfill the obligation of machzor shekel, he has to be yochal kenegdan. So now, since he took money from mai shesheni and he took money from shvius, it's not considered meila. Mai shesheni and shvius is not considered meila. At the same time, he did take from money that was designated for shvius. He did take money designated for mai shesheni. So after paying the machzor shekel, he has to now replace and eat, add money back to his mai shesheni funds and add money back to his shvius funds.
It will be like he spoiled it with shkalim.
It'll be what?
It will be like he spoiled the machzor shekel with shkalim. Yeah.
So Gemara then says, Anan Tanina im karva habema. Our Mishnah said, in the second case of the Mishnah, that they took the chuma out and brought a carbon as well, the Tani debe Rebbe im nishma hachuma. But the Rebbe hotan b'raisa, as long as they took the shekel out, he violated Mila. Why did Mishnah say they took that shekel out and also brought a carbon? Why one case it says you get Mila once they took the shekel out, and the other one says only once you brought the carbon? So the Gemara says a few lines of parentheses we're going to skip here. Man tana im nishma chuma. Who is the one who holds once you took the shekel out, that was enough to have him violate me'ila? Rabbi Shimon hi. Dami Rabbi Shimon miyad haya makaba ma'osa v'akwanim ezruzim heim. The moment they took the money out, the quanim were so zariz that they would make sure that shekel would be used for a carbon. So the moment the chuma was taken, it was ki'ilu, the carbon was brought because they were so zariz. But lemaisa, really you need a carbon to be brought. But again, the actions of the Kohanim are so careful, so calculated, the moment the money was taken, it was ki'ilu, the carbon was brought, and that's when the Isser Me'ilah already kicks in. So Gemara says, Vakasha, so this is all a problem. Because we had said in the Mishnah, if Reuven sent Shimon, Reuven gave a shekel to Shimon, and Shimon brought the shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, and he says, Shimon, it's mine, so the din is that he violates Me'ilah. So why is he violating Me'ilah? Why don't we say, when Shimon brought the money for himself, we know it should really go for Reuven, really for the owner. Even though he lied, but there's a klal here. The kasha ilu hagoniv olaso shechaver. Let's say Shimon stole Reuven's carbon. V'shachto stam, and they shechted it stam. The din is stam alo l'shem bailim harishon mechaperes. The din is the stam l'shema of the carbon. Even the kohen may not have known whose it was for. The din is it goes back to the original owner. So here's well, when Shimon brought the shekel, shouldn't the stam case go back to cover Reuven's, Reuven who sent it? How does Shimon have the right to take it away? There's this din, that stama l'shem b'ilam harishonim. So Gemara says, Amar Rebbe Yudin, tiftar b'musuyam. It's talking about where it was clear when the gizbar took it, the gizbar knew it was going towards Shimon. It wasn't that he just threw it in the pile of coins and everything like that. If he threw it in the pile of coins and they took out a bunch of coins it was used, then we say stama lebayim rishon. But here, it was very clear that the gizbar knew that it was coming for Shimon. How did he know? So Gemara gives an example, Misha Beis Rabban Gamliel, the practice in the house of Rabban Gamliel was, shemiskaven v'dochon l'toch ha'kupa, when they'd give the shekel, they'd push it in a way where they want to have their first, be involved in the first funds. So let's say the chauffeurs were full up. They come in, and right before the gizbar would take the first money, they put the coin in the top to make sure the gizbar would take from their money, so they have a chelik in the first carbon. So here's well, where the shliach Shimon took the money of Reuven, he put it on the top, and the gizbar realized, oh, this was going for Shimon's, so that's why it goes to Shimon, and doesn't go to the Bailam Rishonim. But if they were just put into the big kupa, and no one knew whose coin was whose, Einachanami, it would automatically actually go back to Reuven, the Bailam HaRishonim. So the Gemara then says, okay, so maybe the way it worked, when they took their first scoop up of the chuma, they didn't just take a few coins. They took a huge batch of coins. I don't know exactly how it worked, but a huge batch of coins. Not all the coins were actually used for the first carbon. There's what's called shiari lishka, the leftover coins. So now the din is, maybe there should be a concern, chash, lomar, shema, lishiraim, hey, nofim. Maybe
even though he may put it on the top of the pile here, and when they took the lishka, the din is, if it was not used for the carbon, it was considered a part of the surplus, v'chiyesh me'ila b'shirayim, so why does Shimon necessarily get me'ila? He only gets me'ila if they're actually using his coin. But okay, so he was able to figure out that his coin was being part of the first scoopings. But doesn't mean his coin was actually used to buy the carbon. Maybe they only needed, 100 coins, and he had one of the 50 coins that were not used from the first amount. So Gemara says, Ella must be Karebi Meir. Karebi Meir Omer, Mo'alin b'shirayim. Even the shirayim is subject to Mila. So again, let's say the first scoop they took out 200 shkalm. I'm throwing out numbers. And they only used 150 shkalm. And the other 50 shkalm they didn't use. And Reuven's coin that Shimon sent was in the 50 coins that were not used. Karebi Meir holds all 200 coins are subject to Mila. Even though Lamaisa, only 150 coins were used for the animal, and 50 were considered left over. Rameir holds, again, all the amounts, even the shirayim, are subject to Mila somehow, and therefore that's why Shimon gets the violation of Mila here.
What happened with those 50 animals? They don't go back to the Lishka and buy other animals?
I'm not sure I don't know. The Gemara is going to address it. I don't know. I'm not sure. So then the Gemara says, Oh, Odhi b'vesuyam, we also said, did we not already say, the case where the coin was very clear, meaning when Shimon put the coin in, the Gizbar saw that where Shimon placed his coin. So the case of Beis Rabban Gamliel, Shimon's Kavin v'Tor Milshilo, here's Will. When the Gizbar saw the coin, they saw the coin in terms of picking up first, and they also used that same coin to buy the actual behemoth. So maybe it's a case where the Gizbar made sure that that coin wasn't part of the Shirayim, rather it was part of the money used to buy the behemoth, and that's the case. But if it's a case where it wasn't used and it was Shirayim, Einachrami, maybe it would not be subject to Mila. So again, the two scenarios where there would be Mila, either if you hold like Rabbi Meir, that even the Shiari Lishka would be subject to Mila, or it was Davar Mesuim, it was a clear coin that was only used, that was also used to buy the actual behemoth. So now the Gemara says, My Hanat Nehana, the din of Mila is only true if you get benefit. So what benefit did Shimon get here? Why is he subject to Mila? He just sent the coin and checked off the box for himself. So I'm Rabbi Avin, Mishem Rabban to Taman over there. Mikaven shebased in ruin lamashkon. Since Bezdin has the ability to take a collateral, if you didn't pay your shekel, lo mishkano, and since he checked off the box and he says he doesn't need to pay a shekel anymore, he's nene that Bezdin can't go into his property. It's commotion and it's like as if he benefited, and therefore he's subject to the Isser Mila. So then the Gemara says, finally, the end of the Mishnah says, Mimaisha Sheni, if let's say the individual took from Maisha Sheni fund or from Dmei Shvius fund and he pays off the Shkalim, so the shekel works, he's fulfilled his obligation, but he now has to replace some food and money in the Maisha Sheni and the Shvius funds from where he took. So the Gemara says, it says in the Pasuk, Ach Bechor Asher Yuvukar Lashem Bebehema, Liaktish Ish El Oso, a firstborn animal, and the Gemara says, and it connects this to Maisha Behema and Maisha Sheni as well. So the din is, kol shu kodosh, kodesh ein kedusha chalalav. The din is, just like a bechor, which is already kedusha from rechem, l'yakdishi isher also, you can't be makdish, that which is already a kadosh, here as well, maisha sheni, and shvis, which is already kadosh, you can't add another kedusha, a machsa shekel, on top of it. That's the problem of the Gemara, why you can't use it. So what should you do? So the Gemara says, ketzed also, so now that you've already used the money, it's already in as a shekel in the base of Mikdash, so what do you do with the money you stole from the maisha sheni and the shvis? The Gemara says very simple. This is, I think, what Rick is referring to. Maybe sell a shelchun. You take a regular coin. It's a regular chun coin. Roman, you should say, Mos Maisa Sheni b'chol makum shein. Wherever the Maisa Sheni is, somehow it's now in the base of Mikdash. Let it be chal on the chun money. Shein yuhu mechulalan al sela zel. Let it be mechul on this sela. And that Maisa Sheni, which I sent, is no longer chun. Rather, it's now a shekel. And the Maisa Sheni now is currently on the coin that I have in my possession. Vos a sela nitbas l'shein Maisa Sheni v'ashar nasa shkam. That's where the process should be. So let's quickly do a recap here. We start off with the Gemara.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's, you wouldn't need a chomish because if you're the owner. But I'm not sure. The Gemara then says, we start with the Gemara saying that you're chayiv, and there's certain situations, although we said yesterday that there's an inverse relationship between Ma'is of Hema and Kalbon, there's sometimes where you're chayiv both in the Kalbon and Ma'is of Hema, and sometimes where you're potter both in the Kalbon and the Ma'is of Hema. We said the case that in terms of one opinion holds, that it all depends on the behemoth. If the behemoth is the rove of the property, so then that's going to dictate whether or not you divide the property or you did not divide the property. Then we spoke about the two sons-in-laws. They had the same din as two sons. If it was separated to two sons-in-laws, the same exact din would apply as well. And then we had the end of the parak that asks, what do you do with the kabonos? I mean, it's like five different shittas. If it goes towards the nadava, goes towards the shkam, goes towards fixing the kodesh kedushim, goes to pay the shechanim, or goes to fix the different the expenses of travel expenses. Then the next parak began that if you have a lot of coins, you could put them together on one large coin to bring it up. They also had the shofros in the base of Mikdash as well as in the Medina. And the halachot of sending it with the shliach, it gets lost or stolen. Who they take the shua to? Take the shua to the gizbar versus the bnei ir. We suggested why not put it all on a pearl, which is much easier to shlep than a number of coins, because the chashash it might lose value, just like we can't be pulled onto a keli, might lose value. Same so too with the mergalios. Then we had the din of a shomer chinam, but a shomer sachar would be chayv in gneva v'aveda, unless it was a gneva of listed muzyanim, or is a aveda of shetava svinasa bayam. We discussed the machlokas about tormin ala gavay v'ala asa l'gavos versus those who say it doesn't work for the future collections. And then the din of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that you're, even though normally you don't take a shvua in Hekdesh, but when it's something that has a charaios to it, you do have a shvua. Rabbi Yochanan says no, if everyone agrees that in this case of a shvua is actually din d'rabbanan. We went back and forth to explain that machlokas. And then we had the din of the two sets of coins. We found the old set of coins. You have now two sets. The Rishonim fall to the new fund, and the old coins fall to the Taklan Atik and the old fund. And we have a chokas, what's considered Rishonim? The first coins that were sent, or the first coins that were actually collected by the base of Mikdash. And then the final mission, we said, person uses someone else's shekel, uses a hektish, uses Ma'aser Sheni, where Shvi is the different halachas of Me'ila. And then that din of whatever the coin takes from the Truma Tz'kilu, he was mak of the carbon already. That's a din of Rabbi Shimon. And then finally we had the halacha of the Davar Musum. If the coin was clear, which coin was his, he's chayv in the shiraim of the Shirai Lishka. Machlok is whether that's subject to Mila or not subject to Mila. And I think we need to stop now. Okay. Everyone have a wonderful day. Chakash.